You're listening to Thriving Church Leadership, a church board development podcast, a dialogue to encourage church leaders to rise to the noble task of church leadership. Through a series of conversations with godly, experienced, and insightful individuals, we've dived deep into this very unique space of leadership, specifically formal church leadership, such as pastors, elders, deacons, trustees, and board leadership as a whole within the church. So there are churches, there are church board meetings, am I right? For this second podcast on our podcast journey toward more effective church boards, we're going to jump right into the boardroom, and we will begin by looking at the board meeting agenda. So it's been said that if you want to know what someone values, you need only look at their checkbook. And I wonder if there's a corollary indicator of what the local church values, specifically with what your church values. What if, for example, we looked at your church board meeting agenda? What would that say about what your church values? If that makes you bristle a bit, like it does me, then this podcast is probably for you. We're here again this episode with Brian Walker, president of the GGF. In fact, this is our second consecutive podcast with Brian out of, well, let me do the quick math here. Well, I guess out of our only two podcasts to date.
Only two.
Just two of them.
Yes. Yep.
And Brian's been with us both times.
Yep.
Yep. So Brian is here because he has a wealth of experience with all manner of boards, nonprofit boards, medical facility boards, church boards, domestic parachurch ministry boards, and overseas ministry boards. And as a longtime friend of Brian, I think there have actually been times during his life when he's walked alongside all of those kinds of boards simultaneously during the same season of life. And I'm not being facetious.
Might be.
For those who couldn't listen in on the first podcast yet, Brian Walker is our soon-to-be host of this very podcast, but he joins us today as a guest precisely because of his widespread experience on the subjects at hand and because he has a vision for this podcast into the future. And I'm excited about that vision. But then again, I may be one of those strange individuals that actually find board meeting dynamics riveting. Truly. At any rate, Brian, welcome to your podcast. And I'm wondering, out of the gate, if you find board meetings and the board meeting dynamics as strangely interesting as I do.
Hey, you know, thank you, Brett. I do. What a board meeting contains shapes ministry. It shapes relationships, and it's intriguing. And so I nerd out on the idea of what happens in a board meeting.
Because at the end of the day, it's kind of just a meeting. Mm-hmm. True.
Yeah, it is. It's a meeting gathering of people who love the ministry, love the opportunity to make an impact, and ready to do hard work. It's a full engaged group in theory.
So let's just start with a board meeting agenda. I bet you if you've served on a board or if you're about to serve on a board, there are some typical component parts to a board meeting. What are those?
Well, you know, if you looked at someone's agenda and you took the meeting agenda just raw, it would have a pretty common sense to it. And as I travel around the country and meet with boards all around the country, the common elements are, you know, maybe there's a devotional at the front edge of it. Maybe a prayer time led by a person over one particular issue, or maybe not even a schedule of things. Then it goes right into often the budget or finance conversation, and there's a lot of time that can be spent there, especially if it's at the budgeting season of the year. And that can take a lot, and that goes to the treasurer often of a board or maybe of the ministry. And then there is, from there, they might talk about visitors and guests and what might be called assimilation or some kind of a response to the folks who are visiting their ministry and how are we doing and what happens in that space. From there, they might have a pastor's report and what the pastor's responsible for. And if there's multiple staff, they might have a multiple staff report. They might even bring in a staff member to have a conversation with them. And then from there, they might talk about old business, things that have been cycling through the ministry for the last, at least the last session, maybe more than that, if it's a big project. If there's any kind of capital campaign or any process that's taking place that spans long distance, they might have that tucked in that space. And then there's an opportunity for what they would, maybe a board might call new business, what's going on that needs board consideration. And then there's often a conversation, is that new business or is that old business? And so there's that arm wrestle. And often what happens in church board meetings is there's that one last element of a board meeting that says, hey, has anything been said about, has anything not been said about something that needs discussion? And that somehow falls not in new business, not in old business, but it gives that opportunity. So often in a meeting like that, the board chair might just go around the room and say, hey, has anyone not said something that they need to be said? And as I talk about that kind of a calendar, that kind of a schedule of an agenda with boards around the country, I find that then I'll say something like this. At that point, we're about 4 hours in. And everyone does what you guys just did.
You are efficient. Yeah, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it took about 4 hours. And everyone's tired. If everyone is over the age of 25 in that board, you know, we all start losing our energies about, after that second hour mark. And then everyone gets tired and everyone starts giving it less of themselves. And more as I've spoken with boards across the country, that resonates. That narrative of agenda resonates. Hmm.
It sounds at face value like a pretty good solid agenda. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
It is. It indeed is. It generally covers all of the elements that are taking place operationally in the church.
So let's test that out, Oscar. I know you joined a church board a year or two ago. That agenda feel about like what you experience?
Yes, exactly. But I will have to say that I think that board meetings are actually boring because exactly what you just discovered right here. There are 4 hours, 3-4 hours without any food or without any breaks. Mm-hmm. So when it comes here, I'm like, yeah, this is quite a bit. So even when it's a great agenda, it's not necessarily probably the best. Or I'm wrong. Mm-hmm.
No, you're right on it.
And let me jump a quick second to a reality that I've experienced, and that is how often do we stick to the agenda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's another conversation about, I would say, maybe leadership of a board. How do you stay on track? And if you do stay on track, what is your discipline toward that? And it's really hard to do that. It's hard to stay on agenda. Generally you would want to only cover things that are on an agenda, but because things are very fluid, it's easy to get kind of caught up in having fresh items that no one's had a chance to see or think or pray over. And then it's often one person bringing it up and then it's new discussion, no opportunity to think about it. So it's hard to stay on track. And I find boards often reflect that it's hard to stay on track.
And that, friends, is our teaser for the next episode, because we want to talk about sort of the functional leadership of a board as we step into the boardroom. But for today, I want to focus on that agenda. Yeah. And my intro indicated that checkbooks are a great indicator of what we value as priorities, both individually and corporately. To what extent does an agenda speak to the values that a church holds or that a church leadership holds?
Yeah, it's interesting. I find that the church boardroom is often a reflection of what takes place in the industry. We want to be efficient. We want to get things done. We got a lot on our plate. And so often that board agenda reflects efficient, or maybe not so much, productive work. We got a lot going on. Let's get it done. Everything from plowing the driveway if you're living in the north side to resurfacing, your roof, to doing all these kinds of things. Of what is it? What do we need to do so our church stays functional and fluid?
Sounds like a stewardship conversation. A lot, in large part.
I would say that it often is, and that's why it's not wrong. It's not, those things must be covered. We are responsible as board members to take care of things like finance and understand what fiduciary means. And those are important elements of board leadership, or at least church leadership. How do those operational stewardship level things get covered.
So let me ask the question that is a little uncomfortable to answer. And how does that reality of how our board meetings function, how does that comport with what Scripture talks about church leadership needing to deal with and being privileged and charged to deal with?
You know, I would suggest that there are three maybe things, and I won't bring Scripture into it quite yet. There are three things that we as a board are responsible to do in that boardroom. One is to take care of all the stewardship issues of the ministry. The second thing is to shepherd the congregation, care for and shepherd the congregation. And the third thing would be to shepherd and care for our pastor or pastors if there's multiple staff. And that idea of making sure those three things gets done can't get done in a three-hour meeting. I would say those things can't get done because I think the euphemism is we can get wrapped around the axle around the idea of taking care of the things that are most dominant. I think you say sometimes the tyranny of the urgent. When there's a responsibility we have that it has to do with maybe human resources or a project in the building or a leaky roof, we have to often elevate that to the very top most important thing because that roof is a problem. And so what happens in that is that we end up taking the stewardship issues and making them the elephant in the room. We can't get around it. And so what I would say is that of those three things, stewardship is the lowest of the priorities when it comes to shepherding the congregation and taking care and keeping our pastor accountable and watching over him and watching over that process. And
yet I'm hearing you say that it's likely the category that usurps all others because of the tyranny of the urgent.
Yeah. And really, honestly, it's the giftedness of most of our board members. We board members are often, out in the industry world doing work like taking care of buildings and taking care of their homes and their properties. And it's something we do very comfortably. And most of us aren't pastors when we serve on a board. So we don't have that natural tendency to think about what does it mean to be a shepherd? What does it mean to be a co-leader, a co-pastor, if that was what you'd call it, with our lead pastor? So we lean into our typical comfortable space and we bring that to the board meeting. And then we are inclined to move around that. And I think to your opener, what does a church board look like? It often reflects that agenda. That's what we are. We are doers. We get things done. And we're often not considering that we might be called to be a shepherd. Hmm.
And what is interesting, too, is that I almost think that when you have those three objectives in mind and everybody in the room have those three things, too, the board becomes a team. Mm-hmm. The board becomes a place where you want to be, not a place that is a boring meeting, like I was saying before. It's a place where you want to give your ideas, that you feel comfortable giving ideas, that you feel comfortable attacking things that need to get done. And usually that becomes by a good agenda, but not only that, by becoming a team of board members, by all basically going in the same direction. And it's kind of the objective of also the board. I imagine that also at the same time, that's what the Scriptures tells us. Well, we are within the body of Christ. We are also a body of Christ right there on a board meeting. Mm-hmm. So it makes total sense what you're saying, Brian. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy when you get things done on a board meeting. But I truly enjoy when you get to know the board members also as a team and as people, because that's another thing that we forget about on this. We are all people. We're all trying to do our best for our churches, for organizations. But then at the same time, you also need to be on the same mindset as what God has called us to do as a board member.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, We walk into a boardroom, and I indict myself because I've served on so many boards in ministry, and we walk into that boardroom, especially in the church boardroom, and we are maybe a finance person, and we bring that finance knowledge to the boardroom, and that's our contribution, and we believe that's our contribution. and we've got degrees to prove to everyone that's our contribution, or we're a facilities person, or we're an HR person, and that's our contribution, which is really quite wonderful. Again, to that point of the body, Oscar, that you talk about. But the problem with being a church board is that's not necessarily the mechanism, or maybe not is the complete mechanism. The idea of the body is a really good analogy, but in regard to the church, we also have to, the board in the church, we often have to consider what is an overseer, and is that are we using the right motifs metaphors when we talk about the ministry of the board, I think we do risk that. We do risk that, and so we fill our board with folks who know construction and who know how to do things because that's the nature of the board. But that is an incomplete version of the board,
and may not be the task at hand that Scripture assigns mm-hmm. to church leadership. Mm-hmm. It's not a wrong answer. It's just not the full right answer.
Right, right. And,
is that fair?
Yeah, and what happens then in that situation is there's a gap. There's a significant ministry gap of, okay, if no one is shepherding the church with the pastor, then are they elders? Would they be an elder? And what does that leave the pastor with? And if no one is holding the pastor accountable, or what you call maybe a co-elder with the pastor, then is the pastor elevated to a place that they shouldn't be? And is it also, are they in a dangerous place? Do they risk falling into a problem because they're the only one doing it, and no one is holding them accountable for what it means to be that pastor? So
personality dependent and not necessarily accountable.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, and I would suggest that that's a really vulnerable place for a church to have no specific elders. And when we talk about elders, you know, we can go to 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus, and we can design. It's very prescriptive what an elder is and what an elder does, and we can learn from that. And if there is nothing like that in the church except for the pastor, that leaves that ministry, I think, pretty vulnerable. And then that's when we get to have board meetings that are 4 hours long, and we're talking about resurfacing our parking lot with a group of men who love the ministry and want to do more than that.
I remember walking into a church 20 years ago now, and I remember they were commissioning a group of people that would provide care to the congregation. I remember the statement that stood out to me is like, our church is getting too big for the pastor to care for the needs of our congregation. Therefore, we've instituted this care ministry. And it didn't feel right to me. I'm like, it's just a pragmatic issue that pastor no longer has the capacity to fulfill these things. Therefore, pragmatically, we just need to add warm bodies or add capable bodies. Scripturally, I'm hard pressed to see church leadership in that light. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
Yeah. One of the things that I would occasionally check with our boards around the country, and this is a conversation that is a pretty unique conversation to board work, is number one, there's nothing like being a board member that we'll ever do. It's a call. It's not like being a board member of a nonprofit ministry. It's a call. It's a ministry calling. Secondly, I would say that what we are doing in our career might have nothing to do with what we might do in the boardroom. It might have nothing to do. And I heard it said, and I think President Ken Kemper said this. He said the church board member is the least trained volunteer in the church. And they're making the most significant decisions about the future of the church. The nursery worker or the greeter at the front door or the person who's on, you know, safety and security has much more training, much more understanding of their objective than our board members often do. Mm.
Oscar, how much training did you get for your board leadership?
Well, probably 10%, I will say.
10%. Of yes. What you needed.
10%. Yeah, there was a, you should show up this day and at this time. Mm-hmm. So that was the 10%. Mm-hmm.
Everything else flowed naturally. Yeah, that's the problem we have is that it's not meant to be dismissive. It's just church work is busy, and we get caught up in it. And then the work that I would say is maybe significantly important, I think maybe someone would argue most important, but I would say significantly important, the shepherding of our church, the protection of doctrine, the taking care of and serving our pastor. You know, often what I talk with boards about is take your board agenda and invert it. Whatever is the smallest is probably needs to be the biggest, and whatever the biggest probably needs to be the smallest. And in today's digital world, we can do a lot of work off that board agenda digitally with emails and exchanges in advance. So there is a way to make that process take place without it being something that takes a lot of our time in a meeting.
I'll only admit this in the privacy of this conversation, but my experience in board meetings, because of the tyranny of the urgent, the number of times that we've said, guys, it's running late, really sorry. Can you, Brian, can you quick pray for us as we close? Mm-hmm. And that place of prayer seems, shall I say, very misplaced in terms of volume of time we spend praying. What's your experience with that? Have you been in board meetings where you feel like the appropriate amount of time has been for prayer, or is it realistic to think that we can spend equal and abiding amounts of time operationally and congregational care and all of the things that we need to do?
So our three-part driving motto is healthy pastor, healthy board, healthy church. And I've had the blessing to be able to visit churches all around the country. And to your question about have I noticed a sequence of board agenda items being either operationally heavy or ministerially, or I should say maybe shepherding heavy, I can tell you as I encounter churches, there is something to be said that when there's the church where there's maybe a stronger degree of health, and that's a broad conversation, church health. We can talk about that another time. But when there is a broader degree of church health and it's healthier church in most respects, you sit in their board meeting, and I have, and there is more of a commitment to saying, you know what, you guys got your email, shoot me an email what it is, but we need to pray for our congregation today. And I've sat in board meetings where they'll spend an hour just praying for people in their congregation. And in that board meeting, I never hear one conversation about the issue of tasks or operations or budgets. It's been passed through in some other way, or maybe a subcommittee has handled some of that work. In the plenary board or the full board, when they've gathered, they pray together and they talk with their pastor. And so there is some correlative between the church's capacity in the ministry and how their board handles their ministry.
We're dealing with lay leaders. They have a limited amount of time. So there's likely a trade-off of they have this much time to spend on church leadership issues. And so finding that balance, challenging to say the least. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a tendency to triage. We all are busy, and we say, hey, we have one night a month we can do this. And so we stack it up. And we have all served on boards where we've been responsible for finding new board members to either be our next cohort of folks coming in or people we can invest into and do some board development work. And there's a real reluctance to consider that, and not in just our churches we've been part of, but around the country. And part of that might be the time. You know, we don't have a night. I don't have a night. Or I don't want to, like Oscar said, I don't want to spend 4.5 hours and be tired at midnight and get out, and that doesn't appeal to me. And I would totally understand that. But this other idea of I've tried to help boards check their motto a little bit and say, I get to, I don't got to. This is a privilege. And you know, as I think of James 3, it says, you know, not many of you should become teachers. And I when I talk about the idea of being a board member, we should be selective about our board members. There should be a sense of, I am privileged to do this. I'm excited about this ministry, and I'm willing to meet another time if if there's another day in the month that I need to meet, I'm willing to give a Saturday away. I think if we had board members that were more willing to take that approach to that ministry, you know, when you talk with our nursery workers, they're doing a lot more work than one night a week. They're, you know, our musicians, our sound booth folks, and our, you know, the folks who greet and shovel the driveway, you know, they're giving hours and hours a month sometimes. And I think as a board member, we have to consider that as a privilege and a responsibility that if it does take a full night to take care of operational work, then schedule another night to take care of the work of the elder if you have a team of elders.
I also have noticed a correlation between sort of the breadth of skills, disciplines, input on a board. And maybe one of the even more difficult things is when you find people that are skilled in all areas of church and they're fully engaged in the church, the very elders and deacons that you're in the room with are also serving in the nursery or serving leading small group ministries. And so sometimes in the healthier churches, it seems that you're asking them not just to do double duty by having another meeting where they can pray or meet with the pastor and just have a, you know, special time of kind of understanding what his needs are to how best to meet those needs. You're actually asking them to do triple time because they're already engaged in other ministries. Mm-hmm. Do you see that as well?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I the statistics, I think, and this goes big real quick, but in 2018, the statistics by the government said there were about 380,000 churches in the United States. And within that, then over 95%, I think at the time, were smaller than 100 people. So there's an enormous quantity of churches with a limited number of people in there. And I think in our own fellowship, that would represent probably a pretty clean representation of the sizes. And so it's, you know, I'll talk with a church about board work and they'll say something like, we only have three qualified men to serve on our board. And they're the same men who are probably plowing the driveway on snowy Sundays. And so how do we manage that? How do we juggle the operational stewardship needs of our ministry and the elder level ministry of our church with a very small group of people? And you're right. It's easy to overtax our volunteers. That's a whole nother conversation, probably.
At the same time, I wanted to put my two cents here because almost seems like the church is just a place to go or just a place to experience or something or to get from. I think many, many different times we as Christians, we just believe, hey, I'm going to go to church just to get things from. And when I think about it, well, there's probably three institutions and the institution of yourself, I guess, and you need to lead yourself. Then the second, your family, or the third should be the church. So you're expected to be there. You're expected to give. You're expected to do all these different things. So I really don't, I almost want to challenge. Almost it's like, well, yeah, I think that you should be involved in ministry and also be involved in board. And you should prioritize your time to be there because we can start thinking about the goals and we can start thinking about our own lives and everything that we really do for God is what matters. Mm-hmm. I know I understand that that can happen also at your job, but probably it's much more effective at church mm-hmm. and at churches. Mm-hmm. So I understand what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I also take it as a challenge, like how much I can give instead of thinking why I need to give this or why I need to give another 4 hours of my time or what I'm going to cut off because I need to be there in the boardroom or something. Mm-hmm. So
there's no room for different vantage points on this podcast, Oscar. I don't know what you're thinking.
Singular.
Yeah, this is just a singular viewpoint. No, I appreciate that pushback. Yeah. And we've kind of hit that half-hour mark. But before we just sort of abruptly end with this discussion on board agenda, and what that says about our church and what it could say about our church, what would be maybe one or two takeaways that you'd like listeners to hear?
So I think service, and really talking into what Oscar just said, service is in a church is a cultural issue. It's part of the culture. It's part of the fabric of the church. And we have to, I think, as church, as we attend our churches, make sure that we don't make the board a club. It's a ministry. It's a very important ministry. I think we have to have our pastors be teaching about what maybe board leadership is in the church. So there is that conversation taking place at the pastoral level that it's an admirable work to be done. And we can build that cadre. Yes, maybe we have churches that only have two or three candidates, but that doesn't mean we can't begin working and talking and having a conversation about when we have more candidates, or rather than just recycling the same board members, what does a developmental strategy for board members look like? So there is excitement and there's opportunity, and we can make that work. I think there is a lot to be said about examining that agenda, and don't be caught in. I used this before in a couple of different presentations, and the conversation of we do because we've done, and there is this idea that just because it's always been, it must be, and we have to challenge ourselves against that to say, are we doing something because it's always been that way? Is that a healthy thing? And can we learn to be better than that and be a more effective board for our church and for our pastor?
That's some great insight, Brian. I appreciate your time, your insights. Gentlemen, this is always painful to dive into discussions that we can't quite complete. The good news is in our next podcast, we will talk about some of those dynamics that you're speaking of, and that is, how do we develop boards that are more functional, doing the things that Scripture calls them to do, and being equipped to do those things. So until that time, we'll look forward to that.
All right. Thanks, friends. Thank you.
Thank you.